Right. Any other preteens? Okay. We this past couple of weeks, we have had an influence across our country in different ways. Debbie was leading worship. Debbie, who led worship today, was leading worship at the National Women's Conference in Ottawa last weekend, and last Sunday morning on Parliament Hill, they had a prayer gathering in minus 30 or something like that, wasn't it, Ira? You weren't there, were you? Yeah. He was in Ottawa as well on the worship team with Debbie, but on Parliament Hill about minus 30, and they had a prayer gathering, and she led them in singing the Lord's Prayer on Parliament Hill. And then they came back about Monday, and then Ira headed straight over to Summit Pacific College and this week preached their spiritual emphasis days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we've sort of been all over the place, but it's been good to have that impact. That's not it. That's not it. Okay? It's the right theme, but the wrong pictures. Do we have it? Forget it. It's okay. I was wanting to... Okay. You all know what it was anyway. Well, since you know what it is, many of us watched the Home Improvement show on television for years. It was hugely successful. It had a long run, and now it's in reruns for the next 50 years or whatever, and people still laugh over the same things that they have always laughed about on that show. But it was about Tim Taylor and his sidekick Al Borland, and about home improvement, and it was about all of the different dilemmas that Tim would find himself in. He would blow something up, or he would get stuck on something, or totally destroy something, all in an effort to do a better job of home improvement. And in many ways, it was a metaphor of what was happening in his own life, where he'd be going through something at home, and it would somehow make it to his home improvement show, and he would try and solve the issues and problems there. We loved it because we could identify with it. Not just with the foibles in the workshop, but we could identify with the struggles in the home, in the relationship. We could identify with what was going on in relationship with our children, in relationship with our spouses. We often saw ourselves in those episodes on television. I believe that all of us who are married want a great relationship with our spouse. If I asked for a raise of hands here today, I don't think anyone would raise their hand to the question, do you want a terrible relationship at home? I don't think anyone would identify with that. All of us want a great relationship with our spouse. And for those of you who aren't married, you are hoping that one day you will have a spouse with whom you can have a great relationship. Relationships are wonderful things, but they are challenging things. And our theme for the month of February is home improvement. Building relationships that last a lifetime. And there's a key word in there, and that word is building. Because relationships don't just happen. As much as we talk about falling in love, which is kind of a frightful thing, because if you can fall in love, can you also fall out of love? Okay, if you fall one direction, can you fall the other? But as much as that's kind of a scary thing, that whole thing of falling in love, I think the key to any successful, healthy, happy relationship is that idea of building, that this is a work in progress, that this is something that we constantly have to work at. And I think when we stop working at building our relationships is when we really get into difficulty and into trouble. And so we want to talk about home improvement, building a relationship that lasts a lifetime. And this morning, I want to start at the beginning. I want to start with the importance of a foundation. When you build a house, you start with a foundation. You start with something that will support the structure. And so this morning, I want to talk about the foundation that will support the structure of a relationship. Let's go to the place to begin. I believe that is in anything you want to build. As I said, there is that importance of the foundation, that importance of the structure that you stand on. We would never think of constructing a house or an office complex or any kind of a building unless we were sure that the foundation could support it. I found this picture, and this is a picture taken in a place where there was an earthquake. And if you look at the way those buildings have collapsed, they didn't collapse straight down in rubble, but they shifted, they tipped over. And that's an indication that the foundation was not in a secure place. If you drive through a place like Surrey, the bog south of Cloverdale in particular, you will notice houses that sit like this. It's because their foundation is on a place that is not secure. Their foundation is on a place that is shaky at best. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about foundations. And he says these words there, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Foundations are essential. Foundations are necessary. I was watching one of those home improvement kind of shows on television, and they were building this house in a place where nobody thought you could build a house. And in order to build it there, because the soil was bad, they drilled, I think it was like 10 or 12 pillars down 50 feet into the ground. They said there was more house under the ground than there was above the ground. And they dug these pillars down, drilled down, filled them with steel and concrete about 50 feet down until they hit something solid so that the house would not shift. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. It's exactly what Jesus is saying here, that if we want our lives to be on a solid foundation, and we can relate this to our relationships, if we want our relationships to be on a solid foundation, we need to drill down to the place where there is something solid in our life and establish a firm place to stand. And once we have that firm foundation, then we can build up from there. Marriages collapse and families disintegrate and brokenness happens and dreams are shattered when foundations are weak. And we can start to dig maybe into reasons why relationships sometimes fall, and we won't do that this morning. But I believe that much of it goes back to the problem of a solid foundation. What happened in the beginning days and what has happened since then to build solid foundations? And I just love hearing about people that have been married for, 50, 60, 70 years. My parents were married 70 years. My dad passed away just a couple of weeks after their 70th anniversary. So I've got a target to aim at, okay? And but I don't want it just to be a target to aim at and say, "Ooh, I made it." But in the process, I want it to be good. I want it to be a good 70 years or whatever it is that God gives us together. I want that to be something that is really good and solid and great. So let's talk a little bit this morning about what makes for a good foundation. One of the difficulties with foundations in our relationship really comes back to the way we are wired and the way we are influenced by the world around us. Our first attraction to another person is often very surface and very physical. It's that sort of, across a crowded room, And we spot them and we are instantly in love with how beautiful they are or how tall or handsome they are. And there is this is the way we are wired. God made us with two eyes to notice those kind of things, okay? And so we are aware of that. But the difficulty comes when we think that that is a good place for a relationship to happen. One of the problems is that when we look at television, when we look at magazines, when we look at all of these things, everything is designed to look attractive to the physical. Tracy, can you play this? Let's see if this one works. Ah. See, no real person looks like that. And yet we have that in our minds as that is the image of what beauty is. We have that in our minds as to that's what we want to look like. We want to look have those kind of features, that kind of look. And people starve themselves to find that kind of look. And yet that's a look that is created. It's not a look that is real. So one of the difficulties is that we have this sense of what makes for a great start to relationship. But let me share with you four things this morning that I believe will build a strong relationship. And the first one is that we start with a spiritual foundation. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that we should not be attracted by beauty and vitality and all of those. I think God created beauty and vitality. I think God gave that to us for a reason. And God wants us to express that to the very best of our ability. But it's simply a cultural thing. That picture that you saw up there is a North American cultural perspective of beauty. If you go to Africa, and if you get ready to marry, my sister was a missionary in Nigeria for a number of years, and she said in the area where they were working, before a girl would get married, they would put her into the fattening house for 30 days. And all she would do is she would eat for 30 days because a beautiful bride was a plump bride. And so she was working on beauty. So that's simply culture, okay? It is simply our perspective in our culture. But I believe that we are attracted to beauty and we are attracted to vitality, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not the foundation for a relationship. First of all, let's start with a spiritual foundation. A great foundation on which to build a lasting relationship is when both of you can share a strong relationship with God. When both of you are in love with Jesus first and then with each other. And I believe that's a starting place. I hear it so often. I hear it so often. And please let me make a statement here before I go any further. I want you to know that what I am talking about is probably painful to some people because already something that I have said is a place where they're not. Your spouse may not be a Christian, you are. And so already that may be a struggle, okay? What I want to shoot for is I want to shoot for the best scenario. I don't want us to settle for second best. I want us to shoot for the best scenario. And so what I'm saying this morning is really, this is what we should aim for. If you are in a relationship where your spouse is not a Christian, this is not a reason for you to get rid of them, okay? In fact, the Bible says if that's the case and everybody's happy to live that way, then carry on. But what I am suggesting is if we have a chance to start from the beginning and if we have a chance to build our relationship, that this is the starting point. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the most important commandment that you should follow? Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The first thing that we as a person looking to be part of a relationship need to do is enter into a relationship of love with God that knows no sort of boundaries to it, but that is fully and totally committed and dedicated over to Him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says that if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to us. And I believe that includes a spouse. That if we seek God first, that He will look after all of the details. He will make sure we have provision for us for all of the things that we have need of, including relationships. But I hear it so often. Someone comes and talks to me about, you know, my spouse, my husband, my wife is not a Christian. What do I do? What do I do? The thing that's the most important thing in my life, my relationship with God, I can't share with them. I can't talk about God, or I can't have them pray with me. Because they just think that that's my thing, and whatever you want to do with that, go do your thing, and he plays golf or whatever as his thing. And I just want to suggest to you that a starting point for a solid, strong relationship is when both of you have a solid, strong relationship with God. Okay? And in looking for someone with whom to have a relationship, I was talking to someone this week, and I can't even remember for the life of me who it was they were mentioning. I don't think it was anyone I knew, but they just said, you know, I have this person I'm working with who is engaged to an unbeliever. They're a strong Christian. They grew up in the church, but they're engaged to an unbeliever. And my heart grieved because I knew what would be ahead for them. I knew what would be ahead for them. Not that this person was a bad person in any way, but that greatest joy could not be shared. That greatest joy could not be shared. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because maybe you're living there right now, or maybe you have lived there at some point in your life. But that which is the core of your being, which means so much to you, cannot be shared with your spouse. So I want to start just by saying that the foundation, the first foundation that we need to use as a place to build our relationship with each other is, first of all, a strong relationship with God. And there's so many implications to that, is that we then are able together to seek God's help when things are difficult. When we go through struggles, when we go through hard times, then together we are able to seek God's help and work through that. I think the second foundation on which we want to build a relationship is the foundation of character. Bill Hybels says that character is who you are when no one is looking. The real you. Not the pretend you, not the put on you that you put on for when everybody else is around, but character is the person you are when nobody's around, when nobody would know if you did this. That's the real you. That's a challenging statement, isn't it? Because all of us know that on our worst days, and some of us maybe even on our best days, we struggle with stuff, and it's difficult to sort of live in the way that we would like to live, in the way that we want to live. But character talks about such things like trust and integrity and honesty and things that are deep and significant that you can use as foundation stones to build your relationship. Can I just give you some really good advice right now? If you are dating someone and they lie to you, you are in a wonderful position to still dump that person before you marry them and live with that for the rest of your life. Did you follow that? Okay. If you can't trust them before you're married, you will never be able to trust them after you're married. If you can't believe what they say before you're married, you can't believe what they say after you're married. This is what trust and integrity is all about loyalty and faithfulness. These are things that are necessary for you to have a long-term relationship, to build a relationship that lasts for a lifetime. And if they're not there before you're married, those usually aren't learned behaviors. Those are character issues. Those are deep down inside character issues. And somebody who will lie to you before you're married will lie to you even more after you're married. So run if you're in that position. Run, run fast. Run far. Okay? Don't be so desperate that you have to put up with someone who will lie to you in your relationship. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. He's talking about character stuff. Character stuff. Paul says in Corinthians, I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love. I can be this super spiritual person or appear to be this super spiritual person, but if my character is weak, says I'm like somebody beating a can with a stick, just a noise. It's not meaningful. It's not significant. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, he says, add to your faith goodness to goodness, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, love. Again, these are character issues. These are things that we should strive towards, that we want to be. We want to be this kind of a person. No, you're never going to find a perfect person. Never going to find a perfect person. All those people are taken already. Some of you are married to some of them. When should we tell them? But what I'm suggesting is that we look, you know, after the spiritual foundation, we look for someone who is that person who is solid, that when you know that when they say something, you know they will do it, or they'll die trying. That there is this character that is solid and foundational in their lives. Let me look at the third foundation. The third foundation is a foundation of compatibility. Often we say that opposites attract. And I think that's true. I think opposites do attract, but I think opposites attract in the area of personality. Okay, opposites attract in the area of personality, not opposites in the fact that he likes white and she likes black, and he likes sports and she hates sports, and you know, like that kind of an opposite thing. What I'm talking about here is a compatibility where there is a sharing of interests, where there are things that you have in common together. There's things you enjoy together. When I talk about opposites attract, it is personalities. One may be more outgoing and the other person who is more shy and backward finds that attractive, or the outgoing one finds this stable, quiet person attractive. But there needs to be a foundation of compatibility. If you are dating someone, and I'm talking kind of the dating relationship, but I'm also talking the marriage relationship. What you need to do is look for places that you, or things that you enjoy doing together. Do we like spending time together? Do we enjoy the same kinds of things? And you know, in a dating relationship, you have to be honest, because you know you're trying hard to win that person, and so you'll say yes to almost anything. You know, like, oh, I love that kind of stuff. I love sushi. You know, like you'll say yes to just, you'll eat almost anything, you know, first meals. Oh, it's awesome, dear. It's awesome. Awesomely something. But, you know, there are so many illustrations from my own going through my mind. There were so many times, and it didn't matter which one of us cooked, that we would sort of look at it and say, you want to go out? In those first days, it was just like, yeah. So, but areas of compatibility, okay? Amos says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Is there agreement between you? Some of the things that are really important. Is there agreement on some of the things that you, on your values, the things that you hold dear? Is there agreement on the things that that your goals for the future? Is there agreement on the things that that will create conflict later if there isn't agreement? And so I want to suggest that we need to build a foundation of compatibility. And the fourth foundation is the physical foundation. I want to say to you that the first three foundations are ones we begin to build before we are married and continue to develop after we are married. The fourth foundation is reserved for marriage. Okay? The fourth foundation is reserved for marriage. That God created the physical relationship so that it could be a strengthening and a helping for husband and wife. And when the physical relationship is expressed prior to marriage, prior to the commitment of a marriage relationship, it causes tremendous pain and damage in the long run. Well, it may feel good in the moment. There's no denying that. There's no questioning that. But the fact is that the physical relationship is about much more than just feeling. It is about a union. It's about connecting. It's about a oneness. The Bible tells us that, let me find the verse here. Mark chapter 10. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. The sexual relationship is a relationship that binds us together as one. Well, you're still your own person. You still have your own personality and all of those things. But there is a oneness that is created between a man and a woman that when it is broken, it tears. It's like putting two pieces of paper together and gluing them and letting the glue set. And then when you go to pull those pieces of paper apart, you can't help but have some of this piece on that and some of this piece on this. And one of the reasons I believe, and I've said this before, that we have such a fractured and broken society is because there are people who have all kinds of attachments to their lives from all kinds of sexual partners throughout their lives. And so there's all of this stuff, a little bit of all of these different people hanging on them. And there's a little bit of them which has been given away and is all over the map. And God gave us the sexual relationship, the physical foundation, to be a glue that holds us together, that binds us to each other, that takes us through hard times, that helps us to have a oneness that can be expressed in no other way. And one of the reasons it's so important is because it is also a picture of our relationship with God. It is an expression of the fact that we are united with God, that we have become one with Christ, and that relationship with God has been established. It expresses that. And so when the physical relationship is expressed prior to marriage, it is expressed outside of that commitment that we have to each other. Oh, yeah, I'm committed to her. Okay, marry her. Well, you know, it's just a piece of paper. Hogwash, it's only a piece of paper to people who don't want to get married. Okay? If you're so committed, take the step. And if you're not, get lost. Sorry for being blunt. But I see the pain and I see the brokenness that happens in people's lives when they mess around all over the place before they're married, and then they can't figure out why their relationship doesn't work after they're married. Or they can't figure out, you know, he's going to leave me. Well, he's not really committed to you in the first place. Okay. So if you come and talk to me about your boyfriend that you're living with, I'll tell you up front what I'm going to say. You're living in sin. And you need to separate and get yourself right with God and do it right with the proper foundations. But don't try to ask me to put your relationship together with some guy or some girl and you're just living with them. There's no counsel in the Bible for that stuff except repent and go the right direction and do it God's way. Did you understand that?
Do I need to explain it some more? Okay. So God has created the one flesh union of the physical sexual relationship to be the bond, the glue that holds us to each other, that binds us together in ways that nothing else can and that nothing else does. So let me go to number three just as we wrap up this morning. So what do we do if the foundation is not good? Because most of us here probably, or the majority of us here today are married, I believe. And so we go, okay, like I can't go back there and I can't change things up back there. So what do we do if the foundation is not good? Well, in construction, there's something called shoring up the foundation. And you go back and you sort of dig down to the place where the foundation is, and that you add concrete and steel and all of those things to strengthen it, to build it, to again make it strong or to make it stronger so that it will support the structure that's put on it. I want to suggest that we can go back and we can rebuild some foundations, and that we need to in our lives, that we can rebuild some foundations. That we can go back in areas of our lives maybe where we haven't built those foundations, and we can rebuild them, redevelop them. We can work at finding that spiritual foundation. And yes, maybe if your spouse is not a Christian, that's something you can't, you know, don't nag him to death. You know, you got to become a Christian for our relationship to work. Well, that's not going to do it, okay? Pray harder for that. Pray harder for that. Seek God, but ask God to give you wisdom as to what you can do to be the best, godliest spouse that you can be in that relationship. Look for areas, you know, develop your character. If there's stuff in your life that you know is a struggle in the area of character, then work on that and develop, make a fresh commitment to being people of character. Find areas of compatibility, okay? Honor the physical relationship and foundation for what it's meant to be and for what it is. Shore up the foundation. Go back and rebuild some of those foundations, because I believe that when we go back and re-examine and rebuild the foundations, that in those places we will find greater strength in our relationship. Because we want to build relationships that last a lifetime. We don't want to simply coexist in the same building. I've heard of people that do that. And man, that must be a miserable thing to live through. That you just, you know, sort of show up at the same address, but you couldn't care less if the other person is there or really not. I believe that God wants our relationships to be incredible. Just like He wants our relationship to Him to be incredible, I think He wants our relationships with our spouses to be incredible. He's really interested in that part of our lives. He's really interested in how we get along and how that whole thing works for us. Because, as I said earlier, it is a picture of our relationship with God. Will you stand together with me, please? Building foundations are so important. Building foundations are so important. And I just want to suggest to you that this is the area that maybe you need to work on. Maybe you need to look at again and say, okay, God, this is something that I can start with right now. This is something that I can start with right now. Over the next few weeks, we're going to sort of build a house up here, and this rock is a picture of the foundation. We will put walls and interior decoration, and we will put a roof on it over the next few weeks, because that's all part of what's involved in a relationship. But it has to begin at the beginning. And I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning to look at the foundations of your life, to look at the starting points, the places, the things that your relationship is built on. And if that needs strengthening, then to take some time this week, make some commitments this week to strengthen those foundations. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you give us guidance and direction in your word, that you help us to be able to understand the importance of foundations in our lives. And so, Father, I would ask in the name of Jesus that you would help each one of us this week to look at our foundations, look at the things that our relationships are built on. And if there's some stuff there that we need to re-examine, if there's some stuff there that we need to look at again, if there's some stuff there that we need to work on, God, I pray that you would give us the strength and the wisdom, the ability to do that in Jesus' name.